Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Muhammad.
Walaikum assalam. Can you hear me?
I can hear you good. I'll put myself on mute.
Sure.
I can hear you good. Put yourself on mute.
Good.
Assalamu alaikum.
We appreciate you.
Assalamu
alaikum. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We are very happy that you are able to join with us today for the Jumu'ah here in Los Angeles, California. We are working very steadily, very closely with the Blog Talk Radio staff led by Brother Amin Yasir Muhammad. And they have their Jumu'ah going on. There's another Jumu'ah somewhere, and he stops and takes his time to plug us in so that we can have our Jumu'ah on the Blog Talk Radio program too. But anyway, without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get started and call their van so that we can have the Jumu'ah going in this particular center. So may Allah bless each and every one of you, and we're going to call their van right now. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya al-Falah, hayya al-Falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Brothers and sisters, again, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. I want to welcome you to the Jumu'ah here in Los Angeles, California. I'm your speaker for today, Muhammad Khatib. And we are going to start the Jumu'ah by reciting Khutbah al-Hajja. That's the opening that Prophet Muhammad, the prayer of the peace be upon him, always used whenever he opened up the Jumu'ah prayer on an important occasion. And it goes as follows. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min sharuri anfusina wa man yahdi sayyati a'malana man yahdi Allahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. And pardon me for those mistakes. May Allah forgive me for mistakes in the Arabic. And I'm going to translate this into the English translation here that we have. Or I'm going to read the English translation. Praise be to Allah. We seek his help and his forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own soul and from the bad and from our bad deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides will never be led astray. And whomsoever Allah leaves astray, no one can guide. I bear witness that there is no God except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad, the Allah's servant and his messenger. And when we say that we bear witness that there is no God except Allah. He is the one and only. And we bear witness that Muhammad is a servant and his messenger. Brothers and sisters, again, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. It's indeed our pleasure to join with you today on another day of Juma, a day that is commanded by Allah for all the Muslims to make. And we are making the Juma prayer together. It's our day of assembly. All of the believers all over the world, you know, there are over 2 billion Muslims on the earth. You know, who knows who is a believer, not a believer, but we're all treated as believers by Allah. Allah commands us to do important things. Allah commands us to do what He requires for us. Allah is our Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth. When we call Him Allah, I know in the Western society, some people like to use God. But in the Western society, they call all kinds of things God. We don't worship any humans. We don't worship plants, animals. We don't worship anything, spirits, whatever. We don't worship anything besides Allah. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. Nothing exists except that He caused it and causes it to exist and to continue. And we thank Allah. But we don't address anyone as being the divine being, the perfect being, the one who has all power, all knowledge, present everywhere, never absent, never weak, never missing anything. Allah always has been and always will be. Some people say, can you prove that? Well, I won't even dignify a statement like that because they can't even prove themselves. Allah says in the Holy Quran, they can't even help themselves. He says that even the things they worship other than Allah cannot help themselves. They are but made up things, made up names that the present people and people of old, their forefathers, used to name stuff too. So they just make up stuff and call it perfect or call it divine or call it something worthy of worship. But the Muslims know. We're taught and we believe. That's the important part. We believe it. We believe that there is nothing and no one worthy of worship except Allah, that He is the creator of all things. And He proves that by the fact that He lets all of these important things exist for us that feed us, that help us. We can't survive without the important things that Allah creates for us to survive with, like air, like food, like light, movement of our bodies and all of the things inside of our bodies that do the work that Allah has created them to do, and they do it excellently. We're not perfect. Things in us and around us are not perfect, but they perform by the will of Allah in exactly the manner that He made them to perform. And we are grateful to Allah. Allah says, if you are grateful, He'll open up things for you even more. He'll give you even more out of His bounty. And we are grateful to Allah. When you're grateful to Allah, you begin to see the miracles. You begin to see the miracles. Allah says that His signs, and signs or ayat, is another way of saying a miracle. It means sign, but it also means miracles. And by the will of Allah, we worship Him, and we're grateful to Him, and we begin to see more and more of the miracles that He provides for us. We see Allah's signs. We see evidence that Allah is the creator of everything. We see evidence that the creation works. And it works according to how He wants it to work. And things get better and better and better for us if we're grateful. And if we just open up our eyes and our ears, use our senses, use our thoughts. Allah said in the Holy Quran, the human should use his intelligence, and that Allah has made the intelligence for you. And he has made you to function intelligently. He has given you the strength to perform on a high, high level. We call it excellence. Prophet Muhammad, incidentally, is the best performing, being that ever existed, human being, a son of Adam. All of the prophets are human beings, sons of Adam. We're human beings. Those who love truth, we're human beings. Human beings live by rules. Human beings live by laws. Human beings live by submission to Allah and performing the will of Allah. We were talking last week about the jinn people. You know, Allah calls the human and the jinn, mankind. Allah said in the Quran that the jinn were created before the human. Yeah, there were people, there were mankind, there were people that were driving every day, struggling, but their behavior and their desires, their behavior was more on the five sense level, instincts, animal, more animal level. And we were talking about that, and we were saying and reminding everybody that human beings didn't exist before Allah made the human being, just like nothing else existed before Allah created it. But I'm speaking specifically about the fact that there were no human beings until Allah made the human being called Adam. And the human being lives by the rules or the laws of Allah. We call it Allah's own knowledge. Adam was the one who was created with Allah's own knowledge, Allah, by Allah's own powers. It says in the Quran and Bible too, I believe, that God made him with his hands, made a human being with his own hands. But we know that the creator, Allah, is not physical. So he doesn't have physical hands, but he has powers, all power. One of his attributes, he is all powerful. And another one we have is al-Qawi, all powerful, al-Mateen, so strong and unbreakable, unshakable. We have these names, they're called the attributes of Allah, and we are taught these names. Allah revealed these names to mankind. And so the Muslims have the completed information, more complete than anybody else in the creation, that Allah has 99 beautiful names. He has more than that, but we've been taught and commanded by Prophet Muhammad, the prayer and the peace be upon him, to learn and practice the 99 beautiful names of Allah. That he has, al-husna, that he has the beautiful names, and that we should call on him by them. Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayer and the peace be upon him, that's what that means. He said that if you would learn the 99 names of Allah, if you learn them, practice them, you know, and learn them by heart, that's one of the ways to be admitted into paradise. You can be entered into paradise or admitted into paradise by learning the attributes of Allah. You can be entered into paradise by obeying Allah alone, worshiping Allah alone. Allah says in the Holy Quran, I have not made jinn or men except for my worship and my service. That mankind was made exclusively for Allah's worship and service. And by worshiping and serving Allah, we rise to the level where no being, no other creatures in the creation will be superior to what Allah has given us. And they will not be superior to our behavior. They will not be superior to our ability to perform. And the one who performed the best out of all of the creatures, all of the people, men, jinn, is Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him. He performed so well that the prophethood and the completion of religion rests with him. He's called Khair Mursaleen, of all of the messengers, the best of all of the prophets. better than all of the names that you know. And I know that Adam was created as the first human being, but Adam did not get the opportunity to perform as well as Prophet Muhammad, the prayers of peace be upon him. Adam was told by Allah, we are told that Allah, when Allah created Adam with Allah's own knowledge, Allah had the highest knowledge of all of the creatures on the planet. But unfortunately, Adam failed or made a mistake. He slipped, and he was caused to, Allah caused him or allowed him, or I should say, Allah actually punished him. And Adam failed. And so Adam felt bad. He and his wife Eve, they felt bad. And Allah told them, don't give up hope. He said, I got all forgiveness. And Allah forgave him. And Allah told him that as long as you don't do that anymore, as long as you follow what I have ordered you and commanded you, you will not lose your way. And so Allah forgave him. And Adam and Eve, whenever a human being makes a mistake, we ask Allah's forgiveness. And we should rush to Allah, begging his forgiveness. And Allah says that he has all forgiveness. One of his names is Al-Ghafar, Al-Ghafur, that he has forgiveness and he has all forgiveness. And that when we ask Allah to forgive us, he says that to whomever he pleases, he'll forgive them. And Allah says if you walk towards him, he'll run towards you. He'll rush towards you. And Allah tells us in the Holy Quran, Fadkuruni azkurkum. That's Arabic. Some people don't want to learn Arabic because they're too lazy, or they feel it's not necessary, or they feel they can understand the Quran in English. Well, I'm here to tell you, don't be lazy. I'm here to tell you that Arabic is extremely important because the Quran was revealed in Arabic, not in English. English, French, German, Spanish, you know, those are translations. Somebody can say, in el nombre de Allah. I said in Spanish, in the name of Allah. So someone can tell you in another language, in the name of Allah. But when you say, in the name of Allah, or with the name of Allah, or by the name of Allah, when you say that in Arabic, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, when you say Bismillah with Allah's name, when you say that in Arabic, you're using the revelation, the real original revelation that was sent to Adam, sent to any of the messengers of Allah to remind them that we are performing in Allah's name, with his name. And that divine language that Allah gives to any prophet he wills, and the last prophet, Muhammad, was of Arab, peace be upon him. So Allah revealed it in Arabic. He revealed the revelation, his divine truth, to Muhammad in the Arabic because Muhammad was an Arab. And as soon as Allah revealed the revelation in Arabic, that amount of Arabic became perfect. It became holy. It became excellent. It became pure. It became healing. It became very important. It's the word of Allah, his divine word, his revelation, put into Arabic. And as soon as it came to Arabic, to Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, just the same as if it, as when it came to Jesus, peace be upon him, we call him Isa, it became pure. When it came to Moses or Abraham, peace be upon them, that divine revelation became pure in their language. That particular Hebrew or whatever it was became pure. Well, the Arabic is the language that the Quran was revealed in, or that Allah's revelation came in to Prophet Muhammad, the prayers of peace be upon him, because he was an Arab. And Allah put it in his language so he would understand it. That language became holy. And so from then on, all of what Muhammad received, we keep it. We practice it. We recite it. We learn it. We recite it over and over and over again. It's purifying. It's healing. It's informative and it stimulates your thinking. These are the signs of Allah, the pure, holy language of Allah, the creator of the heavens and earth. And we keep that, we use that, we live that. We obey what the signs are talking about. We obey what the Arabic words were saying to Muhammad. He obeyed it, and he was the best who obeyed it. And we follow him, and we practice it too. But he was the best. He was better as a prophet than any other prophet that ever lived because he was able to successfully complete his mission. He successfully completed his mission without failure, without stopping or running away from his mission. He did so well that Allah says there's no, it says right in the Quran, no prophet is needed after him. No messenger will come after him. His worship and his service of Allah was perfect and completed. We have the whole of what was revealed to him in the Holy Quran. And we practice it. And it is so, it is such a high knowledge, such a powerful knowledge, that when you recite it, when you read it, it stimulates you with purity. It cleanses you. It exalts your character. Prophet Muhammad, the prayer and the peace be upon him, was called Uswatun Hasanatun, the best and exalted character. The exalted character. That's what he had, the best character. And that's what the Quran does to us. It stimulates us. It informs us. It heals us. It guides us. In fact, its name is the Book of Guidance. It's the Book of Guidance. Zalikal kitabu la rayba fi. It has no faults in it, no flaws in it, no doubts in it. Zalikal kitabu la rayba fi. Huda lil mutaqin. That it is guidance for the steadfast believer. It is guidance for those who believe deeply in their heart, deeply in their mind, deeply in their soul, and won't let it go. That's what the Quran is. It's guidance for us. It shows us the way. It is the commandments of Allah. It is the laws of Allah, the Most High, on how we should live, how he wants us to live. The rules on how Allah wants us to live, not how we want to live our own self. Yes, we want to do right, but some people don't care if they do right or wrong. But Allah said in the Quran, he cares for us. He wants us to be guided aright. He wants us to be guided perfectly, correctly. And he gives us perfect guidance in the Holy Quran. So we read it, we study it. In fact, every time we call on Allah in our prayers, we're saying the words of the Holy Quran. Prayers to be perfect. We want the language of our prayers to be perfect. We want the language of our thinking and how we conduct ourselves and how we interact and how we guide each other or support each other, how we call on each other to correct. Allah said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said that Allah has said that the Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. And if a Muslim does wrong, the brother Muslim is to call him back from the wrong. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah said to us, help your brother whether he's right or wrong. And we say, the companions of the Prophet said, how do you help him if he's in the wrong? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by calling him back from the wrong. There was a couple of verses that I was trying to think of, and I got a little mixed up, but it's correct information that I'm giving you. I can't remember each and every verse or each and every what we call hadith. Hadith is the words and the sayings the behavior of Prophet Muhammad, prayer and the peace be upon him, how he lived the Quran. He's the model for us, how he lived the Quran. Perfect model, excellent model, the most excellent model. Khairul Mursaleen, the best of all of the messengers. We practice what he taught. how he lived. Do we have to live the exact same clothes? No. But we have to live modestly. He wore modest clothes, and we have to wear modest clothes, even if it's not the same style. When you look at some of the other people of the world, that some of them are not even Muslim, their women wear modest clothes, and their men too. Some of them cover their heads, some of them don't. Most of the people of the world have a modest speech. I'm talking about societies that call themselves civilized. They try to have an elevated speech, a high speech. It's not like, you know, in this society, they've almost given up on high speech. They used to have a more eloquent, a cleaner speech. Then it failed. And now they talk the gutter stuff, the street stuff, the foul and the foul things, the vulgar things. Allah says the Quran and this religion guides us to the purest of speech. Allah guides us to the purest of speech. That's what Allah wants us to do. But you don't have to be a Muslim to have a cleaner speech. But Allah says he expects the Muslim, as the verse in the Quran says, he has made kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lil nas, that you are the best people evolved or brought forward or brought out everybody else on earth. I mentioned that there's 2 billion people on earth. That's the same as 2,000 million. 2,000 million. Same as 2 billion. The Muslim is told that, and that's about 25% of the world. That's about 25% of the world is 2 billion. The Muslims are told that we're the ones with the best guidance and the ones to best guide, the ones who have been brought forth to God. So we have an assignment. We have a commandment from Allah to use the perfect guidance that Allah has sent to us to help the rest of the world, to call them to Allah. Allah says in the Holy Quran to call them to Allah. Ila Allah, to Allah. Ad'u, call them to Allah. Ad'u ila dar salam, call them to the home of peace. And to, I forget all of the verse, but that's what it's talking about. I'll tell you in English. English can be used to bring people to guidance, but it's not the revelation. French can be used. German can be used. You know, any of the African, the 54 African countries, you can use their languages to call people to what's right. The people who are not Muslims who try to have the elevated language, the higher language, they're trying to do what's right or say what's right. They want to look smart. They don't want to look dumb and filthy and crazy and insane. They want to look decent. Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, said Allah is beautiful and he loves beauty. Allah wants us to be honest and clean, to practice what's right. So even if you don't know the revelation in Arabic, now don't say, I don't need it. You definitely need it. Allah revealed it to improve mankind. Allah gave it to the 25% of the Muslims so that we would call the rest of the whole world of people, call all of them to the worship of Allah, to submit to Allah, to submit to Allah's will. And Allah's will is that we be right and that we worship him and serve him. And do that in an excellent manner. And when we make a mistake, we ask Allah to forgive us and have mercy upon us. We don't want to be sinful, clean. We want to be honest. We want to be upright. We want to be mindful of our duty. We want our minds and our thinking to always be on Allah and what Allah wants us to do and wants from us and wants of us, what he commands us to do. So we'll be the most excellent people. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas. You are the best people evolved or brought forth for the betterment of mankind. Ta'maruna bil ma'rufi, calling to that which is excellent and best and just. Maruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna anil munkari, and turning away, turning people away. Do not invite people to evil and wickedness. Turn people away from wickedness and evil. Maruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna anil munkari, to call to what is right, call them to what is right, invite to what is right, command people to what is right. Command them. Tell them, say, hey, don't do that. Oh, you should speak better than that. Learn your lessons. Keep up your prayers. Act like you got sense. Do what's right. Be just. Be honest. Be sincere. Be clean. Be trustworthy. That was one of the names of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was so trustworthy even before he got the Arabic revelation that all of his family and relatives and friends in his country of Mecca, Arabia, called him El Amin, the trustworthy one. He could be trusted. They would leave and go on trips and leave their most precious valuables with him because they knew that he could be trusted. Ooh, trust is extremely important. And what do people tell you? The worst thing, though, is a thief. I don't care where you're from. People hate thieves. They hate thieves. And the Muslims, we are well known. In fact, it's right in the Quran. You can cut a thief's hands off. Cut off his hands. And Allah tells us about the various sins that we should avoid. Avoid fornication, going with girlfriends, having a boyfriend or girlfriend, and you're not married. Our religion promotes marriage, promotes happiness, promotes domestic tranquility. The country promises that, but do you see domestic tranquility happening as much as it should happen? This country was basically founded on slavery and abuse of people, violence, murder, kidnapping, you know, selfishness. But Allah wants tranquility in our lives, and we're the ones to call for it and to try to bring it back alive in this society and any other society we live in. The Muslims that are in France, the Muslims that are in Russia, the Muslims that are in Japan or China or Tahiti or Brazil or wherever they are, we're to be doing the same thing. We're part of that 25% of humanity that calls them to humanity, to call them to the higher life, call people to the higher life. We command them what is right and forbid them what is wrong, and tu'minuna billah, believe in Allah. Believe in Allah. Tu'minuna billah, and believing in Allah. That's us, the Muslims. We want to believe in the Creator, believe that the Creator can help us and that He does help us, and be grateful and appreciative for everything that He gives us, and not to neglect or abuse anything. We call to what is right. Only thing we hate is evil, rebellion, bad conduct, sinfulness. We turn away from drinking, smoking, drugs and smoking tobacco and drinking alcohol. Allah says intoxicants, calls them intoxicants, and gambling are an abomination. They're very filthy. They are forbidden. They're abominable. It's like rotten. It's horrible. And look how people run and spend their money trying to win the lotto. Look how the country is against its citizens. What kind of country is against its citizens by training them or teaching them to be risk takers, gamblers, waste their money, and to be drunk? The governments get paid. They take taxes. They get a piece. They get a piece of the alcohol money, the drug money. Why don't we legalize drugs so we can just get the money? Why don't we raise the taxes on the liquor so we can have more money? And the so-called top people are the ones who, the politicians, the judges, the top so-called top people are the ones that approve these abominable things, these horrible things, and do so much damage to the people. The sociologists, you can't count them. You can't look to them or hope that they'll stand up for you. The psychologists, you know, they're all doing their thing, but their thing is not the strongest thing. The sociologists, the psychologists, the doctors, the medical doctors, the scientists, They should be outraged with the behavior that they see the evil ones doing. And the evil ones, unfortunately, most of them are the religious people. Why? Because they were the ones that received the revelation of Allah, and they are the last ones that you would think would disobey Allah's rules, his laws, his revelation. But look at them. You know, the people who receive divine revelation, they're like the smartest people in the society. And they're smarter than the scientists. Excuse me. They're smarter than the sociologists. Excuse me. It's smarter than the politicians. I'm talking about the religious people, supposedly the religious doctors of law and the religious scientists and the different studious scholars in religion. They have a knowledge that's closer to the Creator than the rest of all of the other studious and educated people. The judge says he's a doctor of legal matters. He's not smarter than the religious people, even though he knows better than a lot of stuff that people be doing. But the religious people should be so insulted and so outraged, the Pope and others, the rabbi, they should be so outraged that when the politicians and the judges and the sociologists and different ones say it's okay for the people to be drunk or to gamble, they should be outraged. And they should try to do something about it. If anybody's going to raise an army, you know, the Pope used to have his own army. And at one time, if the Pope was mad at certain countries, he recruit believers in his way of religion to his side. And the Pope said, we're going to raise an army and we'll go and attack whoever we think is doing wrong. But do they do that anymore? No, the popes don't speak out against homosexuality. The popes don't speak out against gambling. They don't speak out against drugs. You don't hear anything. The Pope is showing you images and idols. When the first people had nothing and no one to worship but Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. When I say the first people, I mean the human beings, Adam and his sons. Adam and all of the other messengers of Allah, of Almighty God, Noah. You know, the names. Adam didn't worship idols and statues. Noah didn't worship statues. Moses didn't worship statues and idols. These, Abraham, they were against idols and idolatry. They were against that. Does the Pope teach you against idolatry? No, he has an idol around his neck. He has an idol in the little cane that he carries around. He has idols at the altar that he calls people to kneel down and pray to. Do the rabbis speak out? Now, you speak out against their religion or call them by their name, Jew or children of Israel or something, they'll get really mad. If you say anything about the Jews, the first thing they say is that you're anti-Semitic and that you're evil and that you should be punished and that you should suffer. I haven't heard forgiveness yet. I haven't heard them say, you know, we're really like everybody else. Please don't call us names. But every time you look at a talk show or you hear the songs being sung, or the rappers, or people who own the media allow in this society, and the vast majority of them are either Jewish, Semitic, if you don't want to say Jewish, Semitic, or you can call them children of Israel, or you can call them the people who claim to be the chosen ones of the world, God's favorites. That's what they say, that they're God's chosen people. They're the ones who should be speaking out against the raps, the vulgar language, the gambling, the mistreatment of anyone. They should be the most humble people because they say themselves they're closer to God. If they're close to God, where is the forgiveness? Where is the purity? Where is the honesty? But instead, you see gross materialism. You see the absence of God. You know, in Russia, I think they got the Russian Orthodox Church, but they are a communist country, and so is China, and you see mostly the absence of God, and you see gross materialism, and you see horrible wickedness being practiced against the common person, and no mercy, no forgiveness, strongest and the most violent of behavior towards a person who really needs a break. In China, they've arrested whole populations of Muslims over there, the people that are making prayer every day, the Muslims that are making prayer every day. We pray five times a day. The people that are praying, the people that call for honesty, the people that call for integrity, the people that, you know, as Muslims, we're not allowed to drink. Our whole 2 billion people, our whole 2,000 million people, we're not allowed to drink and use drugs. We're not allowed to steal from you. We're not allowed to rip you off. We're not allowed to murder you. We don't rape your children, disrespect your family. We're not holding up banks and calling for all kinds of pollution in the society. We don't want the water to be poisoned or the air, but China's got one of the most terrible problems when it comes to air quality because they are so bent on tremendous materialism and the fact that they have a billion people. They got 1,000 million people in their country. So if they are hard workers, then you're going to see some pollution. But just as hard, they should work to make sure that they are not polluting and poisoning the earth. Where are they going to live if they kill everything and poison everything? Their pollution is so strong, it floats across the ocean and reaches all kind of countries in between here and China. Chinese pollution. And then, you know, you got the other countries that have gotten together and say and said, China, look, you got to cut back on your pollution. Do something about it. But so far, it's not good. They haven't done much about it. And so far, it's affecting the climate. It's poisoning the air, and it's going up into, I believe it's called the stratosphere, high places, where certain chemicals that protect the Earth's air quality live. I know you heard about the ozone and other areas of the sky, where there are chemicals that Allah makes up there, that Allah has made, and he's caused that particular zone to keep the air quality and to be a purifying agent, not just trying to keep it good. It actually has a job to do to keep the quality of the air good. And if you get chemicals from the earth that don't belong up there, going up there, it will interfere with the ability of the air to be purified and the process that Allah uses to keep us healthy down here on earth. Brothers and sisters, mankind has got to do more. But the Muslims are told to do their part wherever they are, and whole groups of Muslims have been arrested in China. It's very aggressive against good people. Muslims believe in the Creator. We pray to the, five times a day. I'm thinking about something else. We pray to the Creator five times a day. We, or maybe I was thinking one and then five, and that's six, so may Allah forgive me, because we only pray five times a day in organized prayer, but we actually pray way more than that. We have way more prayers than that, but five established prayers a day. The Fajr prayer, the Duhur prayer, the Asr prayer, the Maghrib prayer, the Isha prayer. That's five prayers a day that we pray. So people that are praying, they tend to be people who are not out for mischief. We give in charity. We try to help the poor. We go out among the poor and we have encouraging words for them. We ask them to keep themselves up, keep yourself healthy. Wear your mask, wash your hands, wash your clothes, take a bath. We try to provide them with things they need, food, clothes. If we can, we got property, we can provide shelter for the poor person. And Allah says you will be questioned on how you dealt with or how you treated the poor. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you give in charity, he said charity is so powerful that giving in charity destroys sinfulness. It burns up sin. He says that charity extinguishes, puts out sin like water puts out fire. He said prayer, charity destroys sins, your sins. It forgives your sin. Giving in charity is forgiveness of sins for you. And it puts out sins, destroys sins, like water destroys fire or puts out fire. We fast during the month of Ramadan. We fast to please the Creator and to receive we fast to please the Creator, and we are fasting because we hope that our fasting will please the Creator. And the Quran was revealed, our book was revealed during the month of fasting called Ramadan. And so during the month of Ramadan, not only are we fasting, not only are we giving more and more and more in charity, Ramadan is a month in which we give in charity a lot. We're world famous for giving in charity during Ramadan, the month of fasting. It was also the month in which the Holy Quran, our book of guidance, began to be revealed. The book on what Allah, the Creator, wants us to do, how he wants us to live. And we're praying more. We're keeping up. We're learning to control ourselves. There's a whole month that's dedicated to the Muslim, the 2 billion Muslims, learning and practicing controlling themselves, learning to practice and learning to control ourselves and practicing controlling ourselves for the glory of the Creator and for the betterment. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You are the best people evolved or brought out for the benefit of mankind. تَأْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Inviting to all that is good, calling to all that is good, and forbidding all that is wrong, and believing in Allah. Why are the Chinese locking up Muslims? Why are people lying on us? And because of a few people who get out of control, they let their behavior get out of control, and they start wars. Because of a few people start war, they want to condemn all the Muslims and say we're all arrogant, aggressive, and terrorists and stuff. I guarantee you that the Western society has started more wars and creates more terrorism, more misery, more suffering, more abominable behavior, drinking, smoking, gambling, child molestation, abortion, homosexuality. I guarantee you that the other religions allow that foolishness where Muslims don't even allow it. million people, that's 2 billion. All of them, every one of them are trying to get over to the Holy Land in Mecca, where I'm not saying Mecca itself is holy. We go to visit a place there called the Kaaba, which we believe is the house of Allah. It was built by two prophets, Abraham and his son Ishmael, peace be upon them, for the dedication of the worship of the one true God, Allah, during their time, thousands of years ago. Thousands of years ago. We, all of the Muslims, try to go there and visit that house, and we pray at that house. We face that house. Every prayer we make in our lives on earth, every day that we pray, all of the five prayers, we face that house when we pray, because we believe that that is a representation of the house of Allah in heaven on earth. We believe that that's Allah's house on earth, but it represents Allah's house in heaven. How can anybody hate us, hate the Muslims, lie on the Muslims and say we're not the Creator's chosen ones? How can they say we're not the chosen ones when we do all of these glorious things every day of our lives? And once in a lifetime, if our journey is affordable when it comes to the visiting the house, but facing the house, believing in the house, and wanting to go there, we do that each and every day. We believe in Allah all the time, all day, constantly. We have called the God-conscious ones, the ones who are conscious of Allah. We call it taqwa. We believe in Allah deeply in our hearts and in our minds and in our thinking and in our language and in our everyday performance, the way Allah wants us to perform. We believe in that. We believe in Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. You can't see him. We have to believe in Allah without seeing him. No Muslim will say, I can see God or I've seen him or he's a statue. That's a lie. Lie. We believe in Allah. We make our prayers. We give in charity, much, much charity. We fast in the month of Ramadan and read the whole Holy Quran in the month of Ramadan. The whole Holy Quran, a book with 114 chapters, we read the whole book during the month of Ramadan, that 30 days. And we visit the house of Allah and we face the house of Allah with each and every prayer we make. How can somebody not like us? We're the chosen ones. You better wake up. Allah loves us. He helps us. He supports us. He puts miracles on us day and night, every day. He puts miracles and blessings on us all the time. We got the best prophet on the planet. That's Muhammad. He's the eternal prophet. Forever. He's the leader of all of the messages of Allah and all the human beings. He's the best. How can those evil ones speak against our prophet? How can they speak against a prophet that if they accept him, will save them too? Instead, they just chasing money, power, offices. They want to be in the big office. They want to be the king. They want to be the president. They want to be the premier. They want to be the rabbi. They want to be the whoever it is. They want to be the pope or the chaplain or the bishop. They want to be the cardinal. They want to be the priest. And they want everybody to call them father, 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 to be the children. Why should we be called the children when we have way more maturity, morally excellent people, moral maturity? Intelligence. We've got clear knowledge of the beginning of things all the way to right now, and we practice it every day. How are we going to be inferior to any of them? They are fools, and Allah said in the Holy Quran, they have a vain conceit of themselves. Vain means conceited, and a vain also means meaningless. They're wasting their time to think that they're better than the believer. That's why Allah wants you to remember him. Allah says, if you remember me, I'll remember you. But they don't think about Allah. They're thinking about their money. They're thinking about their power. They're thinking about their different offices and stations. And they're thinking about their followers and how many people listen to them and how many people they can lie to through the television and the internet and the radio, and the newspapers, and liars. They just have legions of liars who spread their evil doctrine. All their evil doctrines all over the planet, telling you to worship statues and worship people's races and worship white people and worship brown, black people, to fear the drug dealers and to fear the mafias and to fear the cartels and to fear their syndicates. That's the word I was looking for. To fear their syndicates and that they're grouped and they're organized. And they have their syndicated programs where they all, you turn from one station, from city to city, town to town, country to country, various languages. They're lying with their same sick doctrine, lying all over the earth with their same lies that if you believe in Jesus, you're going to go to heaven. Yes, you are going to heaven if you believe in Jesus. That's true. But do they know that Jesus is a Muslim? That's why you're going to go to heaven if you believe in what Jesus said. You're going to heaven if you believe in what Jesus taught. And Jesus taught the same thing that Muhammad taught, except Muhammad taught more
and it was completed. Prophet Muhammad himself, peace be upon him, said that he and Jesus will be standing together on the day of judgment, like my two fingers standing together right now. Brothers and sisters, don't be fooled by this society, because the Jesus they want you to believe in is white Caucasian people, and the white Caucasian people still want to go around the world and persecute everybody, steal Africans, murder Indians, poison people with drugs and alcohol, tobacco, smallpox, and all kinds of diseases they're spreading. But they claim that they're doing that in the name of Jesus. What liars. What wicked, sick liars. These are the people who still do ancient pagan worship. They still believe in their false gods, Apollo. They still believe in their false gods, Jupiter. They still believe in Neptune. They still believe in Diana. They got stuff named after them. Venus and all that, Mars. They still believe in these wicked, in their idols, their false gods. They name stuff after. Lots of things are named after the false gods and the idols, the mythological figures, the made-up stories, the baby stories that they've been telling each other for thousands of years. I hope you understand. Muslims are not allowed to worship these idols and call on these idols and pursue these falsehoods. The Europeans still dance around the trees, still hunger to have a tree in their house. They used to go in the forest and set the trees on fire and dance around the trees and sing and all that as part of their so-called worship. Thousands of years ago, ancient times, long before the time of Jesus, they were doing this. But at the same time, what do? They try to put a little doll underneath the Christmas tree talking about that's Jesus. Brothers and sisters, don't be fooled. But unfortunately, most people far astray, far away from the light of truth. When the prophet that they claim is Jesus, he said, know ye the truth, and the truth will make you free. They claim him as God, but he's not God. Jesus told them, know you the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus said, I come to you, but I come not of myself, but of him who sent me. Jesus told them in the Bible, it's in the Bible right now, if you know what you're looking at, if you know where to find it, just Google it then. And you'll see that Jesus said, I come not of myself, but of him who sent me, and I can do nothing of my own. Jesus had sisters and brothers. God don't have no sisters and brothers. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. His sisters and brothers would die if told them to, and they did die. He had a brother named Joseph. He had a brother named James. He had a sister named Mary, I believe. Yes, brothers and sisters, let us wake up. Most of the world is trapped in false religion. Not us, not Muslims. We're not trapped in no false religion. We don't worship statues and idols. We don't use drugs. We're not out to kill people. Only time we ever have to kill somebody is only by the law. If that person was a murderer, if that person was doing things that are wrong, horrible, where do Christians think that, where do you get off hating Muslims, but you can't even take care of your crime problems in your society? Crime is just running over you. Gangs and drug dealers and murderers. You got weapons of war in everybody's house, maybe two or three. Turn around and put it on television where you're promoting gross violence and murder and wars. Happy that you can make more war than any other country in the world. How does that help the humanity in society? You don't want anybody to look at your wife, but you looking at everybody else's wife. That got so out of control that they promoted lust, and they promoted adultery, and promoted fornication. They promoted rape and abortion so much in this society. And then all of a sudden, a few years ago, they started a movement that tries to reverse it. And now they say, I'm going to get everybody who violated me. I'm going to get everybody who bothered me. I'm going to get everybody who assaulted me. I'm going to get everybody who molested me. Where did you learn all that from? You learned it from the people who own the media, who had all kind of actors and actresses in every movie doing the sex, drinking the alcohol. They always wanted a martini or a scotch on the rocks, or they wanted smoking, cigars, all that. The richer you were, the more we'd see you with all these vices inside your castle in your house. Brothers and sisters,
we are the Muslims.
We're wide awake. How dare people try to get us to bow down to them because somebody called them a name? You call me a name. You call me a name. You're anti-Semitic. You call me a name. How dare you want everybody to get on their knees and bow to you and kiss your booty, called you a name, when you would dare hate Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, because you won't obey him. You must hate him. You won't respect what he has made in the life of other people who try to call on Allah, who do call on Allah, who pray to Allah. You're always starting wars. You won't let the judges won't let the politicians or the police do their job properly. They're keeping laws and promoting laws that are hating people according to their colors. And no judge would stand up against that. This society was based on violating people's races and going and capturing them in lands they had lived in for who knows how long, tens of thousands of years. But you go there and think you could uproot them and take them someplace else to use them forever, forever. Use them. Use millions and tens of millions and hundreds of millions of people. Have a scheme that uses hundreds of millions of people for thousands of years for free. And you have, there's not going to be no payback. You're not going to have to answer to Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and earth. Almighty God is not going to send someone who says that you are a rat, stinking rat. That's why the world hates you. That's why the world is always against you, because you keep doing things against the creator. And the reason that you're doing things against the creator, mankind, is because you are the children of Satan. Your father, Satan, encourages you to do evil all the time and to disobey and disrespect the creator, Allah. You disrespect Moses, Jesus, Abraham, all of them that were sent to lead you and help you. Allah said in the Quran, some of the prophets, you went so far as to kill them. They try to kill Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam too. They tried to kill him in his lifetime, and they still try to kill him now by denying him his proper place of respect among mankind. So no, I'm not going to respect the children of Israel or anybody else who I know hates the creator, who hates doing right, who hates calling for justice and living right, who's squirming around crying and looking for reasons to hate other people and then look for reasons to blame other people for their misery and their discomfort. Calling me names. You anti-Semitic. Why are you calling me names? Apologize. Allah says you're going to have to pay back and be paid back for all the evils that you've done. And you've done these evils for thousands of years. Jesus tried to help you. He said you are the children of the devil. He said, I didn't come to change the laws that came with Moses, the righteous laws to worship none but the creator and have no idols, have no gods before him. Jesus said, I didn't come to change those laws. He said, I came to introduce them, to reintroduce them to you again. And that was 2,000 years ago. Did they listen to Jesus? No, indeed. But they got the Europeans, the Romans, the Roman Catholics, they got them. How are the Roman Catholics and other Christians going to tell you that the Jews are God's chosen people when they know that the Jews didn't and still don't respect Jesus like they should? Muslims respect Jesus. Like I told you, Jesus is a Muslim. And we respect him.
And we respect Muhammad, peace be upon them. And we respect Moses, and we respect Abraham. We respect Noah, David, Solomon. We respect them, Ishmael. We respect them. We respect all of them, Aaron. And his brother Moses. We respect all of them, peace be upon all of them. All of them. Joseph. Brothers and sisters, we're going to go into the second part of the talk. It's going to be very brief. We appreciate you joining us today here in Los Angeles. And we thank Allah for giving us the knowledge. The knowledge I speak to you, this is knowledge that comes from our religion, Al-Islam. It's in the Holy Quran. And it's in the teachings of our great leaders who have been teaching the same knowledge down through time. The Muslims are the most consistent teachers of truth on the planet. We are the most honest and honorable teachers of truth on the planet. Our duty, our job, we are commanded to keep going with that. Alhamdulillah. We're going to stop. Don't hang up. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala karim rasulim Muhammad ibn Abdullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Ameen. And brothers and sisters, in the translation, that just means that praise be to Allah, and we praise be to Allah. And peace be upon Muhammad and his family and his companions. He is the best of all of the messengers that were sent, best of the prophet. And peace be upon all of the Muslims the world over. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. I encourage all of the Muslims to keep going forward. Be strong. Be strong in this religion. This is the most valuable piece of existence. Our religion, our way of life, our worship. This is the most valuable existence on the planet. What we're doing in service to Allah is the most valuable work that can be done by mankind. We thank Allah for guiding us and helping us. We thank Allah for showing us the right way. We're not lost. We're telling you the truth. Now, if you want to, you keep on believing somebody else because their skin is white or so-called white, gray, beige, whatever you want to call them. If you want to, you keep on believing that they got the right way. Just because they've been beating you for hundreds of years, you expect to keep on being beat, and you keep on, and you've gotten used to being beat, and you expect to be beat, and you're willing to accept being beat down morally. Mentally, psychologically, they're tampering with your mind every single day. And now they're tampering with your body, too, because they're bringing drugs to this society and every other society of worth in society, in creation. They're bringing drugs to the people of every society to further beat them down, drunken them, poison them, and hurt their life for as long as they can. They can get paid for it. If they didn't get paid for it, they would still do it to you. They would still do this to you because this is an act of war. It is an invasion. It is crime. Crimes against humanity. Crimes against people. Crimes against society. Crimes against your youth. Crimes against your males and your females. Crimes against your young and your old. There's a war on you. I hear people talk about, you know, Armageddon, Armageddon, Armageddon. Sound like they're talking about a cartoon or something. The way they don't seem to be responding and trying to change their ways, and they just talk about it like it's some kind of a classic thing, classic play or something. But I'm here to tell you that the devil wants to destroy all of us. So if you want to call that an Armageddon, go ahead.
But we are commanded not to worship the devil. We are commanded not to obey Satan. We are commanded to only obey Allah. And when you only obey Allah in what he has put into the example of Muhammad, with peace be upon him, with the Holy Quran, then you automatically rejecting Satan. Satan gets bucked off. He gets kicked out. He gets chased by what we recite, by what we recite in the Holy Quran and what we live in this religion called Al-Islam, which means total submission to the will of the Creator, whose proper name is Allah. Allah just means one who is all-wise, all-knowing, and all things are divine and almighty power. That's all Allah means. All things are divine and the one who has almighty power. Be everywhere at the same time, lose nothing. Strong all the time, no weaknesses, no doubts, no superstition. We don't, we're not lost in the superstitions of a society. One man make up something, one group of men make up something and give it to somebody else to chew on, to believe it, to live by. That's bunk.
Like some of the guys say, I ain't going out like that. Don't go out listening to the liar, Satan.
Don't listen to his media organ and organ players and actors and syndicated announcers and talk show hosts. Don't listen to them. They can tell you some really sparkling things. Allah says it right in the Holy Quran. He says that the things they tell you can dazzle you. To some men's talk speech about this life can dazzle you, make you crazy, make you excited, laugh, make you cry, all kind of dazzles. But the worst dazzle is to get you to turn your attention away from what the Creator, Allah, wants for you, for your success. Look at all of these, what he's given you. He's given you a body that can respond to goodness, respond to good food, be built up by exercising and practicing what's right. You'll be built up. Your mind will be built up. Your thinking will be built up. You'll be more handsome. You'll be stronger. You'll be more attractive by just doing what Allah says. That's right. You'll be beautiful. That's why if you really know what you're looking at, most of the Muslims look really good, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Brothers and sisters, we thank Allah for guiding us and helping us. And we want to let you know that we appreciate all of the believers who are in this struggle and to keep working to please Allah. Allah says, if you please him, he's going to definitely please you. He said, if you remember him, he'll remember you. The Bible says that too. Brothers and sisters, we don't have to worry about what's in the Quran because it's all true. But you have to worry about what's in the Bible because you had King James playing with it. You had various popes tampering with it. You had various scholars among the scribes and Sadducees and the Pharisees in Jesus' time. And he said that they was liars and hypocrites and snakes. He said they were the children of Satan. Like Jesus, peace be upon him, who's known to be so high, so when I say high, I mean sacred and wonderful and truthful. His very words was, know you the truth and the truth will set you free. How could he call somebody a devil or children of the devil and you don't take it seriously? You got a problem. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Moses. I believe in Abraham. I believe in Muhammad, peace be upon all of them. But more than that, I believe in the Creator of the heavens and the earth, because like he created one Jesus, he created another one. And that's from Adam all the way to Muhammad. That's all the Creator was doing. That's all Allah was doing, was sending you messenger after messenger after messenger to make sure that you keep your attention where it's supposed to be, on doing right and obeying what the Creator has commanded all mankind to do. But most of them won't wake up. Most of them won't obey. But the Muslims, as a group on earth, more obedience, more prayer, more fasting, more righteous deeds, the doing of good. That's an institution in our religion. A Muslim has to do good. every, we call them good deeds, hasanat. We practice these hasanat. We have to do good deeds or we're not a good Muslim. We have to do good deeds or we're not, you should not even call us a Muslim if you don't see us giving in charity, doing right, teaching reality, respect regardless of their race or religion. Muslims are told do not hate people's religion. Do not disrespect people. We're told that. We have to accept every messenger from Adam all the way to Muhammad. Otherwise, we're not practicing al-Islam. We're not doing right. Brothers and sisters, may Allah bless each and every one of you. Learn the Arabic. Practice Arabic. Don't be ashamed to get education. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a Muslim is one who gets knowledge from the cradle to the grave. Study, study, study. So you'll be aware, and not that you could be a big head. Don't hoard the knowledge and keep all the knowledge to yourself. And so you can get more wealth and more power and keep it to yourself. And so you can stomp around on the rest of the earth. And then when they make you mad, you jump in their face. Apologize. Apologize. You're against me. You anti. You're against me. People down. We spend our time building the whole humanity up. I don't care what land you come from. If you meet a Muslim and you are and a Muslim, and you spend any length of time with that Muslim, you're going to see immediately that we have a mindset, that we have a behavior, that we have a morality that's beneficial for the rest of mankind. We ask Allah to have mercy upon all of the believers the world over. Forgive us our sins and bless the believers. Bless those who are ill and get them back on their feet, turn to their family and their business, jobs, career. And we ask Allah to have mercy upon those who have returned to him, who died. And we ask Allah to forgive them their sins, admit them into paradise, to have mercy on them. Ameen. Inna Allahu wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. And that means surely Allah and his angels do salute Muhammad. O you who believe, do you likewise, and give him a great salute. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yunin waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. Our Lord, give us wives and offspring that will be a comfort to our eyes, and grant us the grace to lead the righteous. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barak ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Bil alamin. Innaka Hamidum Majid. And that means, our Lord, exalt Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you did exalt Abraham and his family. And our Lord, bless Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you did bless Abraham and his family. Rabbana aghfir lana dhunubana wa israfina fi amrina wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna ala al-qawmi al-kafirin. Our Lord, forgive us our sins or anything we may have done that transgressed our duty. Blot out our sins. Have mercy upon us. Save us from those who turn against faith. Help us against those who turn against faith or against faith. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhabannar. Our Lord, give us good in this world and good in the hereafter, and save us from the chastisement of the hellfire. Amen. Alhamdulillah. Aqim as-salat, that means stand the prayer. And the one who calls the adhan, the part that sounds like the singing at the beginning of the talk, that's the one who calls. Normally calls the ikama too, which means that's the stand, the call to stand to prayer. And we're going to stand for prayer after we call the ikama. And this is the prayer called Juma prayer. It's two rakats of prayer.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya al-salah, hayya al-salah, hayya al-falah, hayya al-falah. Father God, Minister, Father God, Minister, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah.
So now all of the Muslims that are present and everybody who's following the prayer on the radio, we're going to face Mecca. And if we can't face, maybe laying down or whatever, if we're in the hospital or whatever, if we can't face Mecca, we just want to turn our head or in our hearts, see ourselves in our thinking, in our imagination, see ourselves facing the direction of the sacred house called the Kaaba in Mecca, the holy city of Mecca.
Now we're going to make the, we're standing the prayer. Estow means get to, means close in close together, make a straight line together, shoulder to shoulder, foot to foot. And we're going to make the Juma prayer, which is two parts. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولا آمن أهل الكتاب إلا كان خيرا لكم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون. الله أكبر.
سمي الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا صراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يسألونك عن الأنفال كل الأنفال لله ورسوله واتقوا الله ويصلحوا ذات بينكم وآتوا الله ورسوله إن كنتم مؤمنين. الله أكبر.
سمي الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
سبحان الله. الحمد لله. الله أكبر.
الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين.
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. In the English translation, we say, in the name of Allah, with the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of all the world, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, at thine aid we seek.
to us the straight way, the way of those on whom you have bestowed your grace and favor, not the way of those upon whom your wrath is brought down, nor those who go astray. And takbir, Allahu Akbar, takbir, Allahu Akbar, takbir, Allahu Akbar. When we say takbir, that's telling everybody, or requesting that everybody say Allah is greater and more important than anything. Alhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, we appreciate you joining us today. We hope that you would join us again next week. We appreciate the help of Blog Talk Radio and Brother Amin Yasir Muhammad and his staff, who's been supporting us for years, at least about going on 10 years probably. And we thank Allah. And we don't even think about time. We just constantly worship and serve Allah, constantly keep our duty to Allah. And brothers and sisters, you'll find yourself living the same wonderful life if you just dedicate yourself to doing what Allah wants all of the believers to do. That's to worship and serve. To worship and serve. Yeah. So, and when we say him, Allah is not male or female. We just use that because that's pretty standard stuff as far as recognize that a great authority, but Allah is a greater authority, and the reason for that is that technically, or in the nature, you'll find that the male is seen as the guardian or the authority, and so that language kind of is inside of English, because in Arabic there's not a male or female representation of Allah; it is a conscious representation of Allah. It's not male or female. Allah is not male or female. He's the creator of the heavens and earth, and he has no physical representation or image or anything like that. We worship Allah. He is called, one of his attributes, in fact, is the unseen. The unseen. Brothers and sisters, may Allah bless each and every one of you. If you have any questions, please call us. My name is Muhammad Khatib, and my number is 310-925-3945. If you want a copy of this talk today, just call that number or text that number. Text your email. We need your email address because it's an audio recording that's going to come through on your email. So call or text 310-925-3945. Text your email, and we'll text out the we'll email the recording of today to you. And I'm going to give you my email address. I hope you can get it down right quick. It's M. Khatib, K-H-A-T-I-B. M-K-H-A-T-I-B 100 at Gmail. Again, that is M-K-H at gmail.com. May Allah bless each and every one of you. And again, we appreciate you for joining us today. Make sure and keep yourself safe. Drive safely because there's a lot of rain out here on the West Coast now. And I know back east there's big snowstorms and stuff. And also wear your mask because the scientists are telling us, the medical scientists are telling us that we're going to have a hard winter as far as the virus, as far as the flu, as far as RSV, I believe is the name of the thing that strikes the children, the virus that strikes the children a lot, and also a new virus that may be coming up now. So just wear your mask and be safe. Protect your life that Allah gave you. Alhamdulillah. Peace be upon you. Alhamdulillah means praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum.